This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you you have absolutely no case. If you're injured, need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com. And if you're a lawyer and want to help our listeners, please go to handleonthelaw.com, click on the Join Today tab at the top of the page.
The following is a pre-recorded program.
I enjoy bringing cases to you, stories to you about misconduct of judges. And inevitably, you know, the sexual misconduct, that's where they get the most press. You know, there's the judges up on the bench and there's big flowing robes and they do strange and wonderful things to themselves while not wearing clothing under their robes, you know, that sort of thing. And it's you hear buzzing and it's anyway, normally it's some kind of sexual misconduct, stooping the clerk and going in the back, that sort of thing. Well, here's one that I've never heard of, and it's kind of a neat one. No sex here, but there is a judge, was a judge in New York, who had asked a town official, we don't know what the town official's name was because the story doesn't give it to us, but it was a city official, and the judge asked him to be included in the health insurance program the city has. And the official said, no, our program does not cover judges. You're not considered a city employee. And the judge said, well, no, I am, and you should give me the insurance. And he said, absolutely no. So the judge, a little bit angry, goes outside in the parking lot and keys the car, destroys the paint job of this official's car, I guess, in response to the big no. And that photo was taken. And by the way, you can buy that photo on Getty Images. It's licensed, which is hilarious. And this justice, Gregory Berker, had been on the bench for over 20 years. And needless to say, he resigned just 2 seconds before he was tossed. The commission administrator, that's the commission over judicial commission, said, engaging in vandalism, I love this kind of language, engaging in vandalism is inimical to the role of a judge and undermines public confidence in the integrity of the courts. It would be untenable to retain on the bench a judge who violates the very criminal laws he is sworn to administer upon others. He should have added, he keyed the guy's car, and he's a judge. Give me a break. So he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of criminal mischief, and he resigned, agreed never to seek or accept a judicial office again, and the misconduct probe, the judicial misconduct probe was closed, but the criminal probe, well, he pled guilty, so I have no idea whether he's put on probation or not. Maybe they're going to put up on painting cars. I have no idea. Joe, let's start with you. Hello, Joe. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hello. Recently, my brother was shot dead by the police.
Ooh.
And the news media picked it up, as you can imagine. And I did some research because the newspaper only listed like a fraction of his crimes. So I got curious, started doing some research, and under my last name, well, I mean, he used my name as an alias in the past, but I found an arrest warrant that is in my name from the 90s. And I'm wondering, it's a misdemeanor. And I'm wondering, what's the easiest way to get rid of this?
You know what? I don't even think you have to. An arrest warrant that's, what, at least 10, 15 years old? I don't even know if it's in the record anymore officially. I mean, where did you find it?
It's in one of the court websites.
I mean, you can make a motion to have it removed, but I don't think it really means anything. And it was never served on you. It was the name that was used by your brother and your name. And so, I mean, you can, how do you get it removed? If you want to, you hire a criminal lawyer and you make a motion in front of the court and the judge orders that to be removed. I don't even know if they can remove it. I guess they can remove it from the database, and someone simply has to delete it. I'm assuming that's the case, but I don't know if it's worth it. What was your brother about that he was shot by the police?
Well, he was in the process of murdering his girlfriend. So,
wow. And she called the police?
Yeah, it was the entire apartment, I guess, heard it, and there was numerous calls to the police, not just her. So,
and how's the girlfriend doing?
I didn't really find out. I don't know. I mean, she was in the hospital for a while, and I guess she made it. I didn't hear anything more back from it, you know. So,
wow. Boy, there's a story. Yeah. Whoa. Bet you when you go to parties, you're the life of the party with that story. Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very strong. Very strong. Oh, Alfred. Hello, Alfred. Welcome.
Bill, I had a repair shop about 7-8 years ago. 4 years ago, closed down, called up the customers, tell them, come get your cars, blah, blah, blah. Can't finish up the repair work that was working on. One of them, I got served last month for $43,000 breach of agreement. It was a corporation.
Corporation suing you?
No. The customer suing me personally. I was served at my house.
As an individual, but...
As an individual, yes.
All right. And the corporation was being sued as well as you, or just you?
Corporation as well.
Okay. Is the corporation still around?
Yes.
Okay.
Should I dissolve it completely?
Depends on whether you want to defend it. Is the company still in business? Is it making money? What's going on with it?
I kept it around because in hopes that I would be able to resurrect the company.
Okay, so it's basically dead.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you can dissolve it. You can bankrupt the corporation. You're not liable because I'm assuming the contract itself that they're suing on doesn't have your name on it. It's between the fellow who's suing you and the corporation. Correct.
Yes, it's between ABC Person and ABC Corporation.
Yeah, you're fine. You're off the hook. If they haul you in, you go, hey, I'm the wrong person. It's a corporation that they're suing. Look at the contract. So you're off the hook. Yeah, you can go ahead or ignore it. Let them get a judgment from the corporation. There's nothing there to collect anyway.
That's why he's suing me, looking every
good.
Which way
and you'd get fine,
can.
And you simply say you're suing the wrong person. I'm not on the contract, and is it a lawyer who's involved?
He happens to be a real estate attorney.
Okay, well, you can write him. You can get a lawyer to simply respond and say no. Alfred is not on the contract. He is not a party to this contract. It's the corporation that has the contract with your client. You can do that.
So that's how I should answer this.
Yeah, I probably, you know what, I'd probably get a lawyer just to write that letter.
Okay.
Only because there's some gravitas to that. And if he continues on, and then the lawyer also said, once a lawyer's put on notice... that you should not be a party to this and continues on, now you have a case of malicious prosecution. You can't do that. You can't sue people who are not involved.
Well, he's suing me with like five or 10, something it said in there, 5 through 50 doses.
Oh, they always do that. Don't worry about that. They always do. That's a boilerplate. Letter from the attorney.
A breach of contract.
Yeah, letter from the attorney. You're not Joe, by the way. You're not a Doe. You're Alfred.
No.
So I wouldn't worry about that. That's just to add other names when they discover other names are involved. Lawyer, letter. You're not a party. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Hello, Richard. Richard, yeah, you're up.
I'm selling a house and basically looking to. There's a vacant lot in the back, and I want to retain that lot. And the loan is on both the house property and the vacant lot in back. So I want to separate so I can own the lot free and clear, and I also need an easement. So I'm wondering, can I grant myself an easement?
No, not really. No, I mean, it's a little complicated. Do you want to split the lot up into two separate lots?
No, they're two separate parcel numbers. So,
okay. So you're granting, separate. One easement to the other. Yeah, you could. Is there a mortgage on it?
Yeah.
You better talk to the mortgage company because right. They may just call the loan.
Well, I'm selling the house, so I've already got an offer.
I understand. That doesn't mean anything. But is the mortgage on both pieces of property?
Yeah.
All right. Call your mortgage company, because I think if you do anything that changes title and easement is part of title, right. They may just call it. So you want to be really careful about changing what the house is about. But, yes, if you own pieces of property, you can give an easement to one or the other. The only issue is the mortgage company that's loaned you the money. That shouldn't be a huge problem. Manny. Hi, Manny.
Hi, Bill. So this is my situation. I am currently married, not looking for divorce, but I did recently report my wife to the local PD for physically abusing me. She actually put me in the ER last month.
Okay, we can stop right there. Hold on. Hank, sure. Don't even move a muscle here. Okay? I still want to be married, and she put me in the ER. Explain that to me, would you please?
Yeah, because, you know, I've talked to her parents. I've talked to my own parents. You know, we have a very good support system. We actually told her, like, hey, look, you're either going to go to counseling or we're done. I actually told her, we're going to counseling or you're done. We're out.
Uh-huh. How badly were you hurt?
Blood in the urine, pain in the chest. She hit me quite a few times, both with her own fist. She hit me with a couple of items in the apartment.
What kind of items?
She hit me with a tripod. And then she hit me. We have a stick that we use for the fire alarm when it goes off. So she hit me with that too.
The old fire alarm stick in the head, or she punched you in the chest with that?
She got me good a couple times in the arm and a good one in the leg as well.
Well, there you are. Okay, and you love her because you figure that if someone comes in, she'll beat the crap out of them, right? And it's just really good defense. All right, so you better stay married. You're in the ER. She takes you out of the ER. I'm assuming you're not peeing blood anymore, and everything is good. What is your question?
My question is, what can I do to defend myself if that ever, you know, happens again? Because she's still currently emotionally and mentally abusive, and we're still trying to find counseling for her.
Yeah.
And she's even talking about, like, oh, I'm going to go to anger management class, but, you know, haven't heard about that
yeah.
in a while.
Well, here's the problem with people like your wife going to anger management classes. They tend to beat up the people who run those management classes. And so those don't last very long. What can you do to protect yourself? Yeah, first thing is get the hell out. But let's assume you want to stay. Really nothing. There really is a thing. Next time out, you call the police. They come out. Did they arrest her for this time out?
No. I mean, I talked to a detective, and he took my statement.
Wow.
And he was like, well, do you want to press charges? I was like, currently no.
Okay.
And he all right, was
so
like,
next,
well,
okay.
DA
all right. All right. So next time she does this, how do you protect yourself from her craziness? You don't. The important thing is if she beats you up, hopefully she doesn't have any bruises or any kind of marks on her body, so she can argue she did it in self-defense and you attacked her first, then you end up in jail where they arrest you. Right. What I would do, here's my really, it's a really good piece of advice, and that is go to handleonthelaw.com and .com, and for God's sake, get a divorce attorney, please. This is Handle on the Law. Welcome back to Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Yo, Carl, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Here's the deal. 2019, I filed for legal separation. And at that point, I have a house here in Burbank, actually. Anyway, so at that point, she agreed to make the mortgage payment. I agreed to pay all of their bills, which are water and power, whatever. Okay, now, going forward now, she wouldn't move, wouldn't leave. Finally, in January, she agreed to move. At this point, when she moved, she said, well, you're paying everything. She had to borrow money from my son to make the mortgage payment. She went out and took a loan after $25,000. She piled up all this credit card money.
Okay, was the loan taken in her name or both your names?
Just her name only.
Okay. All right.
Nothing. So anyway, so then after all that, basically, and also the irony is she works for a management company. She's a person that assigns the rental properties and all that stuff. She wouldn't leave. And my big dilemma is this, one of them. You know, I'm a VA vet, you know, and all that, and I'm monitored on a monthly basis because I have aneurysm and I also have a heart condition. And she yells at me constantly. I mean, just yesterday, you know, she'll call me and scream at me. You know, my whole point is, what am I liable for at this thing?
Okay.
Am I liable for her bills?
Well, I would argue that you're not liable for her bills, but here's a couple of mistakes you made. Upon separation, every credit card that you had together, you have to inform the creditor. You are not responsible for any bills that are due after this date. Prior to that, you're married, and you are responsible. Both of you responsible for your debts. After the fact, you're not. Then you have the issue of, did you actually file for legal separation or just separated?
Yep. No, I filed for legal separation. And all basically the credit cards she's talking about, these are under her name and her credit cards, not mine.
And happened subsequent to the subsequent to the filing for separation? Yeah, that's on her. Yeah, that's all on her. Now my question is, you file for legal separation and you're still in the same house. Yeah. Pardon?
No, she stayed there. She wouldn't move.
Oh, and you moved out.
I moved out.
Okay, you're good. Okay, fine. All right. So now what you can do, I assume you're going to divorce her, correct?
Yeah, I filed the papers in July 2019. They've been postponing the court. In fact,
right.
They're supposed to go end of this month, and again, they postponed it.
All right, so what's going to end up happening, it's really the house more than anything else. How much equity do you have in your house, Carl?
Oh, about, let's see, $600,000.
Okay, that's equity. That's not the value of the house. That's how much you get out of it if you sell it.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what you get to do. File, and you've already filed, you're just waiting for the date. It's all going to work out in the end. Even if you are paying for the mortgage and the taxes, that gets worked out, especially if it's set up properly where your attorney, and I'm assuming you have an attorney on this, correct?
I do not. Couldn't afford an attorney.
Yeah, wow.
The only money I make is disability from VA. And I'm a senior citizen. I have
okay.
Social Security.
That's all right. You're going to need you are going to need some legal advice, if not representation, Carl. Okay. And so I'm going to refer you over to handleonthelaw.com, and you can say that we talked, and you'll go through all these email stuff and just do an email blast to the various attorneys or phone calls and say, Bill and I talked on the air. And I really just need some advice where to go with this. And you should be able to get that because from the sounds of it, you know, it's a little complicated. You really do need a lawyer. And you know, most lawyers like to get paid. Bastards. They just don't like it. Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Bill. My question is, how do I recoup money from a mechanic who performed unnecessary repairs on my vehicle?
All right, and you paid for it.
Yes, it's already been paid for.
Okay, how do you know? All right, now how do we know they're unnecessary repairs, Frank?
Okay, so when they first diagnosed my vehicle, I disagreed and I said, that doesn't sound like the problem. But they insisted. I said, well, you're the expert. If you think that's the problem, go ahead and fix it. After they fixed it, my car broke down again a couple of days later with the same exact problem. So I took it back, and then they fixed it for free which was a minor repair. So I ended up paying approximately $1,400 for the repair before Christmas. I didn't have money to buy any presents or anything. And the repair, the true repair, would have been a lot less expensive than
You have to know, okay, Frank, number one, you have to know how much the true repair would have cost. And that's with specificity.
I should call them to ask.
I'm sorry?
I guess I could call them to ask.
No, they're not going to tell you. Frank, they're going to lie to you. So I think you have to take it to another mechanic, and you're going to have to get a bid, an analysis, because no one's going to take your word for it, Frank, or at least the court won't. Yeah, because here's a guy, here's a repair guy saying, I had to do that. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Well, Frank, on what basis are you saying you don't? Well, and then you come up with it, you're not the expert. Right?
Okay, the first thing, one of the problems they said was the battery. I have the original battery. I took it to an AutoZone. They charge it for me. They said the battery is fine.
Okay, that
the
helps.
Motor mounts,
okay,
I
now you're
motor mounts.
Okay, now you're fine. You're getting the evidence. You're getting the evidence, and everything they charge you for, you're racking up the evidence to go in and say, this is what they charged me for. They overcharged me. They didn't fix me. Okay, that's fair. I mean, at this point, it's not a question of your word for it. You've got the proof. Here's the documents. This is the AutoZone charging the battery, saying it's fine. Here are the mounts that they said were worn out. They're fine. Here's the mechanic who said that. Your Honor, do you want to see the mounts? And so you bring all that crap in, and I think you should be okay, actually. I think so. Alex! There you are, Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey. Back in 2012, I was in a car accident, and I had a fractured neck, and was not allowed to get an MRI after they gave me an X-ray. They did smell alcohol on me. I got charged with a DUI, and within a month, I suffered a vertebral artery dissection and a mild stroke. I'm curious what I can do. I know.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. There's a couple moving pieces here. So the police arrest you, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens after the arrest? And you started complaining about your neck pain immediately. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Do they take you to a medical facility to be looked at?
Yes.
Okay. So it's the medical facility that didn't do an MRI, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's simple. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and so I knew the officer in high school, and he told me I was faking my injury, and he doesn't have time for me to get an MRI because he's about to get off work.
Wait a minute.
And I said,
hold on. Wait, he's decided you don't need an MRI. You are in a medical facility, and Officer Krupke decides you don't need an MRI?
Yep. This is South Carolina, let me tell you.
All right. And the hospital said, that's right, officer, because you think that Alex doesn't need an MRI, we're not going to do an MRI.
Correct.
Wow. Well, this is on the hospital. This isn't on your best buddy, the cop, because influence that the cop has or whatever liability, let the hospital deal with that. The problem is 2012. And why are we waiting 9 years to talk to me?
It was actually 2013 was when I was charged.
Oh, I feel better. 8 years.
Right. And it took me a year of recovery. It took me about 4 months in a neck brace.
Why didn't you contact attorney immediately?
I did. I contacted my attorney that worked on this case to try to get me a lesser charge of a DUI.
No. Why don't you contact a personal injury lawyer?
I tried. No attorneys wanted to take this case. In South Carolina.
For the love of God, I don't get it. I think the statute is blown. You can't do anything. And the horror is you have a medical facility that fails to give an MRI because the cop told him he doesn't need an MRI. You don't need an MRI. And because of the failure of an MRI, you've got a medical situation that was not diagnosed. Now, are there defenses? Yeah, he would have had that problem anyways, even if we had done the MRI. But that comes out in the lawsuit. Wow. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Back we go. More Handle on the Law. Clarissa.
So I called an insurance company trying to get some new car insurance. They notified me that there was an accident under my name reported from some insurance company. The lady was kind enough to send me over the information. I contacted the insurance company that was listed, that listed me as a policyholder, and I told them, I said, where did this come from? I've never been in an accident, and I've never held a policy with you guys. They informed me that I did have a car repoed a year ago, and they told me that when the car was repossessed, the finance company somehow either put insurance on the car, and they filed a claim for the damage, saying that the damage was more than what the vehicle was worth, so it was totaled. And I just want to know, is that legal? Can they put a accident under my name when I never had a policy with them?
Yes, they can buy insurance if you don't buy it yourself. And if the car is uninsured, yeah. For example, let's say I have a leased car and I have insurance. Well, my lease says if I don't buy insurance, they're buying it and I'm paying for it. So, yeah, they can do that.
Can they report an accident under my name that never occurred?
No, that one they can't because they're saying that you committed the accident.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
And I've never
fair enough. I get that. Now, how do you prove that the car's totaled? How do you prove there was no accident?
Actually, the car's not totaled. What it is supposedly that there's just some damage on the front right of the vehicle.
And they totaled the car because there was just some damage on the front.
Yeah, they said it was. Yeah, cost more to fix it than what the car was worth.
Yeah, well, it could be. It could be. I've never heard of that, frankly. I've never heard of that. And so your insurance company is now saying there was an accident. It's another car, correct, that you're talking about?
No, this is the car that got repossessed.
I understand, so now what do you want to do?
So I just want to say, how can I get this accident that's reported under my name off, because there never was an accident.
All right, so you have to work with the insurance. You have to work with, I guess, the insurance company reported the accident.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. You have to just sit down with them and work it out, because you can't go to court. You got to hire a lawyer to have the court order the accident report be removed. What's that going to cost you? Tim.
So my gorgeous wife works for a store where, because of COVID, they say if you're feeling sick or under the weather, don't be a hero and don't show up. And so even if you have like the sniffles or a cough at work, they'll send you home. And she gets her performance review and everything's stellar until it comes to her attendance where they said, well, you know, you haven't been showing up for work. And she said, well, yeah, you said if you're feeling sick or under the weather, don't show up. And she's gotten every pay increase. Were her performance reviews up until this last one.
All right. Does she work? Got it. Does she work for a major grocery store chain?
Yes, sir.
She has to go to HR.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and just say, hey, you can't do this. You can't send me home. You can't say when I have a sniffle, I go home because of the fear of COVID. And then all of a sudden, you're tagging me for not being there enough time. That doesn't work. That is totally unfair. And you're going to argue. It's probably a violation, or you're going to argue a violation of the HR, their procedures. But Yeah, I can't imagine a store doing that. I mean, I'm not misunderstanding. I believe you, but you know, I'm having a hard time understanding how can they do that during the days of COVID.
Yeah.
So has she talked to store management?
No, she kind of doesn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Well, she's got to ruffle feathers, Tim. She's either going to ruffle feathers or not ruffle feathers.
Got it.
Oh, that's going to be her choice. You know, at some point, how often do I ask this question? When, let's say, you have been treated poorly by an employer, and yep, you've got a case, there's no question. Now let me ask you, how badly do you want your job? This is Handle on the Law.